Thank you, Jesus. And you may go ahead and be seated if you can. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Yes, gave us gifts. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, and that's what we want to talk about tonight. Some of the gifts that Jesus has given to us. Amen. A Christmas gift bag for you. Tonight I have brought gifts. Gifts. Gifts for everyone. Are you ready to receive some gifts tonight? Amen. It's Christmas time. Thank you, Jesus. And God has given his children wonderful, magnificent, and priceless gifts. Now, or any time, is the time to open these gifts. You don't even have to wait till Christmas. That's right. I mean, it's only the 18th, but I'll let you open them tonight. All right. This year, it's okay to open any, all, and every gift, even the big ones. Oh, amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, gifts are kind of interesting. You know, when we give gifts, there are ways that we receive those gifts. This is the way gifts are to be handled. Somebody gives you a gift. What is it you're supposed to do with it? Well, first of all, you have to open it. But you know, that's only part of it. Because if it's a type of gift that needs some instruction, let's say you get some electronic equipment, say you get an iPad or something like that, and it's like, whoa, what is this? Wow, this is great. So now you have an iPad. Put it on the shelf. I have an iPad. Anybody want to see my iPad? Isn't it great? No, you have to then do something with it, right? You've got to read the instructions. How do you use it? How do you get the most benefit out of it? You know, if it's clothes, you want to know the washing instructions, the care of it, right? So you have to do something with it, and then you have to start using it. And then you have to incorporate it into your lifestyle. I mean, it's one thing to use it once and put it away, but many gifts you want to incorporate into your lifestyle so it becomes a habitual thing that you use in your life. Well, that's the way we need to treat the gifts that we have received from Jesus, that we have received from the Lord. I mean, we just sang that wonderful song that tells about a lot of the gifts that Jesus has given us. Well, tonight, I have this gift bag that is full of gifts that have been given to us by Jesus Christ. So we want to look at this gift. The first gift is the gift of the Word. The gift of the Word of God. God has revealed himself through his Word. And in revealing himself through the Word, one thing we need to realize is that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, that's his word, of the things that he has expressed, the things that he has said, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now, from this passage that actually started before this, we know that there was a promise that was given to Abraham, the promise that he would have a son, but then was also given to him an oath. And a promise would have been good enough from God, but he also had an oath that showed to Abraham that God would indeed fulfill that promise. So he's talking about the immutability of his counsel. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, again, unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie. so as he has revealed himself in his word to us, it is impossible for him to lie. So we have been given a gift of the word. And that gift is a priceless gift. It is the type of gift that we can depend on because it came from God and he cannot lie. And he also tells us in his word that the word will do its work, the work that it's designed to do, and not return to him void. In other words, it will accomplish, and that's what we're going to read right now. This is Isaiah 55, verses 9 through 11. I want to go ahead and start in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Important thought there. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Important thing for us to understand that his word and his thoughts of how he has revealed himself is not the way that we think. So we need to be willing to set aside our wicked. Notice there it talked about let the wicked man forsake his ways. What that means there is a twisted way of thinking. A twisted, let those who are twisted put away their thoughts, take on the thoughts of God. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So in other words, the rain has come down, it's got a purpose. And that purpose is to water the earth for the seed to germinate and for then bread to be available for the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So when he sends his word, it will do what it said it would do. So what are we to do with that? Well, one is we need to hear and do the word to be blessed, to have it do what it said that it would do. In James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So again, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So we need to receive his word with meekness, with humility, knowing that he knows more than we do. He has a perspective that we do not have. Let's go on with verse 21. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save, to deliver your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So we don't want to just hear it, but we have to do something with it, which is to put it into action in our lives, like we talked about with the gift. You don't just take the gift and put it on the shelf and say, isn't it wonderful? You have to open it, and then you have to figure out what to do with it. How does it work? How do I apply it into my life? And we have to do the same thing with the word. We don't just hear it. We don't just take it and say, wow, this is nice. But we have to begin to do it and enact it in our lives. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, the thing that he's doing, the word will accomplish what it said it would accomplish. And because of that, you can put the full weight of your being on Him and on His Word. We're trusting Him because of what He has told us in His Word. And because it's impossible for Him to lie, then we know that when we put the full weight of our being on Him, He will sustain us. Hebrews 6:12 in the Amplified. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as those who through faith, and now this is the definition of faith here in the Amplified, by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. So we put the full weight of our being because His Word is true. His Word is faithful. And we can do that every single day. I have done that in my life. 10 years ago, when I went through a challenge with my heart, I chose to not seek medical counsel about it. I did not talk to anyone. I chose to stand on the Word of God. And He sustained me. I knew that He would. These same scriptures that I've been looking at here were things that I looked at then and said, you know what? God's Word says I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I'm believing it. I'm standing with everything I have on the Word of God. There is no plan B. There is no plan B. I'm staying on the Word of God, and I knew that I could take it to the bank. And sure enough, here I am 10 years later. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One last point on this particular gift. The transformation of our lives begins with a mind renewed by the Word. When you hear the Word of God and you study it and you do it and you put it to action in your life, it will transform you. Not just conform you to be like a Christian is supposed to be, but transform you. A substantive change, like the caterpillar to the butterfly. The butterfly can't at some point decide, you know what, this flapping around from flower to flower and from tree to tree, this ain't no fun. I want to go back to being a caterpillar. I like my feet on the ground, all 25 of them. I like them on the ground. No, a butterfly can't do that because he has been changed in the core of his being. Okay. So by doing the Word, it begins that transformation process in our lives and gets the Word into our hearts, and we live by our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the gift of the Word of God has been given to us. So take the gift of the Word, hear it, study it, use it, speak it, and apply it to your life. Amen. Okay, let's look at another gift that He has given us, the gift of salvation. All right, the gift of salvation. Now, what I mean here is the salvation package that we have been given through Jesus Christ. The gift of salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, when we talk about salvation, that word there is much broader than just us going to heaven. And we know this. We've talked about this before. This salvation includes healing, prosperity, peace, protection, power, authority, renewed relationships, cleansing, deliverance for our lives. Because we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In John 10:28, it tells us that Jesus gave eternal life and we shall never perish. That's one of the aspects of this salvation package, that we do not have to die. It says there in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So we have this gift of salvation, the salvation package that covers every area of our life. The scripture tells us that he has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And that word there, life, is Zoe life, the life of God. He has given us everything pertaining to life, everything pertaining to our spiritual walk with him. The blessings that we have that we were just talking about, all those things is part of the Zoe life. And then he has given us everything pertaining to godliness, how we in our lives work out the salvation package that is given to us, how we live in a godly way, how everything that we need in our life has been provided. Because as we walk in the kingdom of God, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So that godliness is us living out what Jesus has promised for us and all the provision that goes along with that. So he has given us everything pertaining to life, the Zoe life of God, and godliness, living that out in our lives. In John 10:10, the scripture says that the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, or as one Bible translates it, to have a life better than imagined, better than we can imagine. And that's the kind of life that we have. That's part of our salvation package, that we can have this wonderful salvation. So what do we do with the gift of salvation? We open it up, and what do with it? We affirm the Word of God in the area of salvation that we need. If it's healing, affirm the Word of God. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. If it's prosperity that you need, finances, God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If it's protection that you need, Psalm 91, Psalm 23, these are scriptures that we can be affirming and should be affirming on a daily basis, because it is part of our salvation package. And just as we take the Word of God and rely on it, this is one of the applications of relying on the Word of God. The salvation package that has been given to us, that has been outlined in the Word of God, is something that we can put the full weight of our being on and know that we will come out victorious on the other side. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's look at another gift, the gift of faith. So the gift of faith. So what we're talking about here is this gift whereby we then open up the Word of God, the salvation package, and we put our full faith in that. We have been given a gift of faith. It says in Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So he has given us a measure of faith, the ability to put our full trust in God. Now, some people think that it takes a lot of faith to accomplish the things that God has called us to do. But you know that the Word tells us, Jesus himself tells us, it only takes a little faith to accomplish much. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief that they weren't able to accomplish this thing that they were wanting to accomplish. He says, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this what? Mountain? Is that very big? Has anybody seen a big mountain lately? I know every time I step outside my front door, there's a mountain. It's not a very big mountain, as mountains may go, but it's a pretty good sized mountain. So it only takes a grain of mustard seed to move a mountain. You shall say unto this mountain, remove thou hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. With just a little grain of faith, a mustard seed size grain of faith. So what does that tell us? It's not the quantity of faith that you have, it's the quality of faith that you have. Because when you believe what God has said in His Word, when you believe the specifics of the salvation package that He has given us, and you're willing and able to put the full weight of your being on it, faith will arise and accomplish everything you need in your life. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Or as Pastor said in his faith series, with faith, all things are possible. Amen. So, what do we do? How do we put it into effect in our life? Well, one way is with the prayer of faith. Mark 11:24. Is anybody familiar with this passage? Somewhat? Okay. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You shall have them. The prayer of faith. And what does that mean? That means there are three conditions to having the things that you pray. One is you've got to desire them. You know, and everybody has desires. Everybody has passions that they'd like to have fulfilled. And it's talking about a hot desire there, a hot passion. So you have desire and you pray. In other words, you make your requests known. We know from the scripture right before this, Mark 11:23, that it is a verbal prayer. You say it out loud. Because he says, you say unto the mountain, be thou removed. And here he's saying, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, when you verbalize what you want, then the third condition, is, which is the most important, comes into effect, that you believe that you received what you have asked. In other words, at the time that you prayed, at that point in time, believe that it was accomplished in the heavenlies. And when you believe in that way, the scripture tells us, and you shall have them. You shall have them. Now, it doesn't say when. That's when the standing in faith, you've put your trust, you've applied your faith, now you stand in faith. You take an aggressive stand, a military stance. Stand ye therefore, according to Ephesians 6, verses 12 and 13. So you stand in faith. You take that military stance. It's not just sitting back and waiting for God to do something. You partner with God. You do the word. You speak the word. You speak using the sword of the Spirit. And when you do that, then your prayers will come to pass, because that's what it promises us. And that is what faith is all about, believing what God has said. The gift of faith. One way of applying that is found in Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Notice he says that He would grant you. So Paul is praying that they would be granted something, that they would be given something, given a gift. And so we, being on the receiving end of this, receive it by faith. And we say, you know what? It's been prayed for. I believe it. And therefore, I know that I'm going to be strengthened in my inner man by his Spirit. For what purpose? Going on to verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That the anointed one and his anointing may dwell in your core value system, may dwell in your heart by faith as you believe what God's word has said, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, in his love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And this is the bottom line, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So we need to believe what God's word has said about us, that he has given us power, he has given us strength in our inner man, so that Christ can dwell in our hearts, we can walk in his love, and be filled with all the fullness of God. The gift of faith. And walking out this gift of faith brings us to the next gift, the gift of the kingdom, the gift of the kingdom of God, that he has given us his kingdom. He has made it available to us. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33, I quoted it a few minutes ago, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek his kingdom. Well, what is his kingdom? His kingdom is the place where the king has dominion, where the king has the say-so, where the king and all the things that the king can bring to a situation is part of that kingdom. So when we think about the kingdom of God, we need to realize it is a place where God is in control. And when God is in control, that means the evil one's not in control. So in the kingdom of God is not evil. In the kingdom of God is not sin. In the kingdom of God is his peace, his joy, his love, his righteousness. In the kingdom of God is everything we need. All our provision is in the kingdom of God. Everything that he has provided for us through Jesus Christ is found in his kingdom. So let's find the kingdom. Where is it? The kingdom is within us, the scripture tells us. The kingdom is among us. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. His kingdom is there. Then when we're together like tonight, his kingdom is here. We have specifically invited his kingdom to be here because the scripture tells us in Matthew 6 that Jesus said that we are to pray that the kingdom would come and that his will would be done. That is another good description of the kingdom, a place where God's will is being done and a place where his power and his anointing is present. So to have the gift of the kingdom is a wonderful place to be, because in the place of the kingdom, we have all these things. And when we live in that kingdom by faith, according to the word of God, according to all that's in our salvation package, and according to our faith, as we are applying our faith, then in the kingdom, we have everything that we need. Matter of fact, in Luke 12:32, Jesus said this. I'm going to start in verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not. Wow, that's interesting. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to. He's not holding it back from us. we're not having to, you know, to run to Tibet to find the kingdom of God. He wants to give it to us. The kingdom of God is among us. And he says, fear not. In other words, when you're in the kingdom, when you're seeking the kingdom and you're in the kingdom, there's no place for fear. God is going to provide all your needs physically, emotionally, physically, in everything that you need. He will provide it. In Matthew chapter 13, he tells us that it has been given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Who's he talking about there? The mysteries of the kingdom. In other words, those of us who have ears to hear, those of us who have eyes to see. Because he goes on and says, I'm going to go ahead and read verse 12 through 15. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. For whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, that seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, by seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are become dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and be converted, be changed, and I should heal them, bring deliverance to them. So for us, that means that we need to have eyes that are looking for the kingdom. We need to have ears that are listening for the kingdom. We need to have hearts that desire him, that desire his ways, and he will reveal to us the mysteries of the kingdom. One of those mysteries is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. So walk in the kingdom of God. Establish, those of us who know how to establish the kingdom of God around us, do that. Confess your sins. Cast out the demons. Establish the kingdom. And then live in it. And how do we, well, let's go on to another scripture first, and then we'll talk about how. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That HS is Holy Spirit, not healing school. Although you could probably find some of that in healing school also. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. From Romans 14, 17. So in his kingdom, we're going to find these things, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So how do we live in the kingdom? We live in the kingdom by checking frequently the thermostats of joy, of peace, of patience, and of righteousness. Righteousness, well, we're going to talk about righteousness in a few minutes, so we'll just leave that for right now. But we need to check those thermostats. Are we in joy? If joy has departed, we've begun to leave the kingdom of God. So now we need to confess our sins, get back into the kingdom. If peace is leaving or patience is leaving, then it becomes impatience and a lack of peace. Then again, confess your sins and move back into that. If you find yourself thinking things, doing things that are evil, having thoughts that take you away from righteousness, then you're moving out of the kingdom of God, or actions that take you out of righteousness, you're moving out of the kingdom of God. So, we need to live in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is a wonderful gift that he has given to us. And now for the final gift for tonight, the gift of righteousness. I'm hoping my stack will stay stacked. Okay, the gift of righteousness that he has given to us. In Romans chapter 5, I want to read verses 12 through 18. The gift of righteousness to reign in life. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned. So we see here that the result of sin was death. And we see here that death then reigned, was supreme from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned in the same way that Adam did, in the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Notice we're starting to talk about a gift here. Is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. So he hasn't told us what the gift is here. He's just talking about it. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Here's the gift. The gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Because when we have been given the gift of righteousness, that means that the resulting sin that leads to death has been eliminated. And we now have this gift of righteousness, this gift of sinlessness, this gift of the place of not having sin affecting our lives. The scripture tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm going to go ahead and read that. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So a wonderful gift that we have been given is this gift of righteousness. That sin has been washed away, remitted, taken out of our lives. Therefore, that means that everything that God has for us is available to us. There's nothing that is blocking that. So we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death, the resulting gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a state in which we live. It's a place in which we know our standing before God in Christ Jesus. But righteousness is not just a gift in that sense, but righteousness is also something that needs then to be lived out in our lives so that we are living in righteousness. And there are several scriptures that talk about that. Jesus started it simply this way by saying, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be right, to be living in a right way. And it says, and they shall be filled. Romans 6, right after, of course, Romans 5, where he talks about this gift of righteousness, Romans 6 picks it up by telling us, I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So here we see that in our state of righteousness, there needs to be lived out in our life the resulting righteousness that comes from that state of righteousness. In other words, that we now yield our members not to sin, but we yield our members to righteousness, to do righteousness. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin that leads unto death, unrighteousness, or of obedience, which results in what? Obedience unto righteousness. So as we obey the word, as we obey what the word is telling us, as we live it out in righteousness and faith, living in the kingdom of God, we then have the gift of righteousness and we live it out in our lives. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity in your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So holiness is the outcome. Verse 20, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. But now we are servants of God. We are servants of righteousness and the gift of righteousness. So what do you do? How do you open that gift of righteousness? Well, one way is to affirm, based on Romans 6:11 and 1 Peter 2:24. In the name of Jesus, I reckon myself dead to sin, but alive unto God and living unto righteousness. Because 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that we are to live unto righteousness. Let me read that for you here real quick. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, we were just reading that, right? That we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. Should live unto righteousness. So these are wonderful gifts that we have been given by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to open all these gifts. And so that is the gift that he has given. And so now I have given my gifts to you as I have opened these gifts for you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.